going to talk about is smiling in this world, smiling a little bit more than what we have in the past. The Sfas Emes asks a great question that deals with this parsha that should be obvious, and it's pretty well known. I think everybody probably has this question in some way, shape, or form and doesn't really know how to say it. Sometimes you ask it on Pesach, sometimes you hear it from your irreligious relatives and you knock them off with a really weird answer, right? But this is the question. We know that there's a chiyuv to tell over Yitzias Mitzrayim. We know that every single day there is a chiyuv, not only of Sipur Yitzias, that's Pesach, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, but there's a zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. And many different things that we do, we say zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush, we say zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. All these different things we get around and we say it. In the end, we were in Golis for 210 years. And this is coming as a shock, 210 years altogether. And we were slaves for a long time. And we never received any explanation as to why we needed to be slaves. We're told, Avraminu said, Bamo'eda, how do I know that my children will be okay? And he was punished that his children were going to be in Gullus for 200 and 400 years, really. And 210 would be spent in Mitzrayim. But we're not given a why. What was the reason why? Because Avram said two words, Bamo'eda. That's it. What was the reason? What's the pshat? What's the point of us going to Mitzrayim for so long? And the Sfas Emes says it in a different form. What's the chiyuv of Yitzias Mitzrayim if we don't understand the reason for being down there in the first place? What are we getting out of it that allows us to be these types of people? And you can't say it's just from Avraham. That makes no sense. Honestly, it reminds me of a Gemara. Those who have learned brachos toward the beginning, and Daf Hei Amud Beis, where you have a bunch of Amoraim visiting one another, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, and each one of them is feeling this pain. And each one goes up, the Amora that's feeling well, goes up to the Amora that's sick, and says, do you want it? Do you want these Yisurin? Chaviven Alech Yisurin, do you love these Yisurin that God is giving you? And each one says, Lo Hain Below Skarin, I don't want them, I don't want the scar for the Yisurin, I don't want them whatsoever, get rid of the Yisurin. And they did something to make him better. Yayiv LeYadei gave him his hand, V'ukmeh, and was able to make him better. We have Amorayim that mention in Sari Chesem and Beis and Sanhedrin, Yesi V'lo Achmineh, I want Mashiach to come, I don't want it to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be involved when Mashiach comes. I don't want to be there. There's going to be so many tzaros. People are going to be dying. I don't want to be around when Mashiach comes. That is not what I want to be involved with. That's what they said. So I don't understand. If the Amoraim are telling us that they don't want these Yisurim, they'd rather not go through with it at all, then why can't we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shouldn't have sent us there in the first place. I'd rather have not gone and not had a Yitzias Mitzrayim than go and get these Yisurim and have a Yitzias Mitzrayim afterward. What are we celebrating? What are we doing? Pesach. Pesach is our freedom. Why were we slaves? What brought us to that level of slavery in the first place? Lo hein velo scharan, yesi velo achmineh. These lines should be read every year. What could possibly have allowed them to think that this is a thing that we have to remember at all times? What is this Yitzias Mitzrayim idea? And the Sfas Emes answers, a classic answer, that you're not thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for the Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're thanking him for the experience of Golos as well. That the Yitzias Mitzrayim that we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu over, that we're reminding ourselves of, that we're getting involved with, is Hashem, we realize that not only was Yitzias Mitzrayim the Iker, but even the Golos that we were involved with, every part of it was also an opportunity. It was also something great for us. And in some ways, the Golos can be an even greater opportunity. An even greater opportunity for many of us to get there. We know, and we see this all the time, the Chicago community only comes together when there's a terrible, terrible tzara that happens. It's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. You could have unbelievable simchas. Maybe the only exception to that rule is a Daf Yomi Sim, which is an amazing thing. Maybe that's the exception to the rule. But you could have amazing things going on. It's difficult. You could rent out Great America just for Jews, and a third of us will show up. I mean, a third. Some of us will show up. You're not going to have everybody around. You could have some amazing things. And it's just not going to happen. But when there's tzaros, when there's a Tehillim session, because of something Chas V'Shalom that goes on in Eretz Yisrael, or a person Chas V'Shalom that's sick, you get them together, then all of a sudden you see everybody come in from all parts of the community. And at every single one of these, you have a person get up there, and what's the first thing they say? If only we could all get together for good things and not just for tzaros. But that's the reality. The reality is that's what we get together for. In Gullus, you can find an achdus that isn't there when everybody has their freedom or when they have their money and riches and everything's going well. It's just not there. People start going on their own, start thinking it's me, I'll take care of myself, get a little insular, and they forget about it. Yitzias Mitzrayim is that Klal Yisrael found their voice. They were able to cry out loud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They regained that relationship that they had lost over the years when things were okay in Mitzrayim, that they hadn't had for years. They found it back together. They were able to bring themselves together. They were able to do things that they couldn't even imagine they would do. A bris milah, all in one day, in order to eat a korban Pesach, to take the gods of the people that they have been enslaved by. I think we forget what it, well, forget. We have no idea what it's like to be a slave. To have the mindset of a slave and to grab your master's god and to take it and shecht it and put the blood. It's just, yeah, just do that. You should be fine. You won't have to worry about anything. It's my master. It's a person that I'm scared to death of. If I wasn't scared, I would have rebelled years ago. I'm obviously so scared that even though we're a major, major contingency in Mitzrayim, 3 million strong, we don't feel that we can uprise, and we don't feel that we can fight the Egyptians who are enslaving us. And you're telling us to take their gods? They're there. They're right there in front of us. According to the Ramban, it was during Makas Choshech. That makes it a little bit easier. But according to the other opinions, it's strange. Yitzias Mitzrayim means that we saw what we were like, and we continued that when we were brought out of Egypt. That even when we left Egypt, we kept that achdus and the vayichan neged ahor, that we were able to camp together by the hor. We took the lessons, we learned from them, and we kept them. This celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not that just we were freed, that we became free and we were able to do whatever we needed to do. It's that we allowed ourselves to continue the lessons of Gullus into the Geula. And it was such a huge thing. It's not... Egel Azov is what we should have done when we left Mitzrayim. It's not the exception to the rule. It's what people do. You get free, you have a lot of money. Of course you spend it on something stupid. Well, of course. That's what you do. The fact that they were ready to be at Har Sinai 50 days later, and they were ready to be together, and they learned from it, and they took it all together, that was amazing. That's the Gullus and the Geula that we thank God for every single day. That we remind ourselves of every single day when we say that third paragraph of Shema. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all of this, for allowing us to cope and understand what it was. There are great people, even today, that in the throes of Gullus, when things are going badly, are able to see how this is still good. They're able to find the greatness, even when there's tzar. Most people can't do that. Most people, you ask them to do it, they're not going to be able to do it. Maybe you've seen it before, maybe you've heard it before. It is not a good idea to go to a house of avelos and to say, don't worry, this is for the best. It's not the right thing to say. That's not what you said. That's not your place. You want to say that to yourself, chas v'shalom, if you yourself are in avelos? Of course. That's your job. That's for you. That is not for anyone else to say to anyone else. Accept your pain. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. Who are you? Who are you to say such a thing? The great tzaddikim are able to do it. For us, it's to take a deep breath and to survive. To allow the tzaros to just go and then to bring ourselves to the next level and to be okay with it. But we just take a deep breath. We know it's not the easiest thing in the world and we'll be okay. It's how you get kids to stop crying as well, by the way. Tell them to take a deep breath. You can't cry while you have deep breaths. If they take deep breaths, they can't stop. They have to stop crying for a second. And once they do that, then you tickle them. Okay? It's a very easy way to get kids to stop crying. It depends, because obviously if he's really, really crying and he's really hurt badly, it's a bad idea. It's probably not going to go. He needs stitches. But it's a good way to be able to go around. Afterward, after the tzar is over, and the tzar will be over, no matter how bad it is, it's always eventually going to be over. When it's over, when you get a respite, when things are in rest mode, that's when you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that just happened. Because then it becomes a little bit different. I can't really remember the tsaros the way it was when I was in the throes of that tsaros. I can remember it now as being, it was bad. But right now I'm okay. And at that point, that's when you start thinking to yourself, this is what I got to do the next time. The next time it starts up, I have to remember, it'll end. It's going to end, and right now it's going to be okay. We're all aware of the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, the one with when he went to Rome. That's fine. The second story is not as well known. Rabbi Akiva comes to visit him. It's in the Yerushalmi, it's Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara itself, it says that it was just the Talmud. Goes to visit Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu has no use of his arms or legs. His arms seem to have been cut off. His legs weren't working. He was blinded. He had boils and sores all over his body. He was living in a poor, dilapidated house. So poor and so dilapidated that when they took Nachum Ish Gamzu's bed out of the house, the whole house collapsed. He told them, take out my stuff first and then take me out. They took his stuff out and then they brought him out and then the whole house collapsed. That was Nachum Ish Gamzu. This is a man said everything about like Gamzu Latova, that everything is for the good. And Rabbi Akiva cried and said, Rabbi, I can't believe we see you like this. How can we see you like this? Nachum Ish Gamzu said, Baruch Hashem that you see me like this. And he mentioned what had happened to him with a poor man who asked him for food. Two different versions of the story, one in the Bavli, one in the Yerushalmi. But in the end, somebody asked him for food. He didn't give him the food on time. The poor man died. And he went down on his hands and knees and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my hands that didn't give the man the food should be cut off. My legs that didn't run to go help him should be lame. My eyes that didn't see his plight should be blinded. And he still wasn't convinced until he put shchin and everything all over his body. He simply put, he didn't have any money. So his house became the house that it came. But that's the level that a great man can come to, that in a level of pain he can see that there's a purpose, there's a reason behind everything. That in the end, for Nachum Ish Gamzu, who's in Olam Haba, in the end, it's going to be okay. Right now, it's different. From my own personal experience, those who have seen my son Nochi over the past year and however many months, a year and 3 months, 4 months, since he had his whole leg thing. When it first happened, biggest tsar in the world. To have something like this, I still did not quite him. Didn't know what it was, but Perthes disease, when you have the little thing, for him to be in a cast, not be able to move, to be able to have that little thing on him that he had to keep on him for 24 hours a day and then 20 hours a day, and now he's able to walk around, run around, he's able to play sports, but he still has to wear it at night. I'm looking at it now, and I'm trying to think back as to what I was thinking when he got that surgery. What I was thinking when they originally put him in the cast, and what it was like having to carry him everywhere and bring him from one place to the other. And I can't really remember. I know it was terrible. I remember it being extremely hard. I remember taking him to offices, and I remember having to use up a lot of time to try to do it. Physical therapy was really difficult. Bringing in the physical therapy, doing the physical therapy at all. I know all that is difficult. But I'm looking at it now, when things are doing a lot better. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? It really wasn't so bad. And I get it. I get it now. Without that, I wouldn't have gone to Disney World. I wouldn't have had that happen. Without that, I wouldn't be involved with Chai Lifeline as I am today. The amount of work that I now can do and will help out Chai Lifeline with. I see what they're doing for people. I get it. My kids got a PS4 out of it. I think all my kids would do it all over again just for the PS4 that they got for free. That would be awesome. That's them. Because when you're done with it, when it's over, then all of a sudden it's like, what was wrong? There was nothing there. Because you don't remember. In the time, at that time when things are going badly, yes, there are things that we have to work on, and unfortunately it's just not the same. But you get out of it, and when you get out of it, this is where we can't be Nachum Ish Gamzu at the time. Nobody can be Nachum Ish Gamzu at the time. But it's really easy at the end of it to say, Gamzu Latova, Gamzu Latova. And I can say it. Rabbi Akiva, his Talmud, learned the lesson from there. Kol D'Avid Rachmanu L'Tav Avid. He learned the lesson of maybe a little bit different, for better or for worse, that everything that God does is for the best. Letav of it is for the good. It's a concept. It's an idea that we all have to take on for ourselves. But the question is when. A man came up to his Rebbe, and he asked him, how can he learn to say Gamzu Latova like Nachum Ish Gamzu? How can he be that person? How could he do it? And his Rebbe told him to go visit an expert in the field, a certain man that lived in a certain area. I don't know. I've seen two versions of the story, and both of them are different names, and neither one of them makes sense to me. But the guy went, he went to go visit that person. And when he went to go visit the person, he walked up and he said, the Rebbe told me that I have to come to you to learn how to say Gamzu Latova. And the man said, me? He said, yeah. He said,
The Rebbe didn't mention my name. He said, yeah, you. He said, no, it can't be. He said, the Rebbe said that I should come to you. He said, me. I've never had anything bad happen to me in my life. That's what he said. So I think in one version of the story, he was really, really poor. In the other version of the story, he was like crippled. I don't know which version of the story is correct. I think the point is that anyone that says that is already a special person that you can learn from. That anybody that says, I've never had anything bad happen to me in my life. God, we are so weak, so weak. I got a smaller piece of pizza today during lunch. And I couldn't daven mincha the same. I was like, modim? For what? What am I thanking God for? That was a little corner piece. Who wants the corner piece of pizza? Nobody wants that. You get a little bit of crust, you're angry. God, why would you do this to me? Why am I even from? That's your line. We forget we are just so weak. So weak. For anybody to say, I've never had anything happen to me in my life. Never had anything bad. That is a king in this world. A king. A person. A man once came up to Rav Yashiv. This is by far one of my favorite stories. I've probably told it to you before. A man came up to Rav Yashiv. And he said, Rebbe, I need to get a get written up. I don't know if this was a Talmud or this is a person getting advice. Maybe it was a guy for Eitzah. To me, it makes more sense that it was for Eitzah. But he went up and he said, I need to get a get for my wife. He said, what happened? Rav Yashiv said, is any dying wood? What's going on that you need to get a get? What do you feel? Why do you feel you need to get a get? So he said, I need a get because I keep telling my wife that she should stop leaving her hair on the comb, on the dresser. She combs her hair. A lot of hair comes out from her hair. And she leaves it on the comb in the dresser. It's absolutely disgusting and I can't handle it. So Yashu just stared at him. Just stared at him. And he said, anything else? The man said, that's it. So Rav Yashu said, you have it too good in life. That's what he said. The man didn't understand. He's like, but I want a get. He's like, you're not getting a get from me. So he walked out. As he was walking out the door, he tripped on the stairs. He fell and he broke his leg. He went straight to the hospital. The only person to visit him while he was in the hospital was his wife. Yeah, it wasn't Rav Yashiv. That definitely wasn't. Okay, his wife. I doubt Rav Yashiv knows the end of the story. I highly doubt it. But his wife came to visit him. So she helped him nurse back into health. She was the one who did all this therapy with him. She's the one that brought everything together. So obviously, the time came out, they didn't get divorced. Now, I guarantee you, I'm not sure because I'm not near that guy, that the woman still left hair in her brush. That just didn't happen. That's a different issue altogether. You forget what it's like to just, you sit there and just go around. I'll just tell you right now as well, Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Gemara in Tainus as well, Rabbi Yehuda, Chof Gimel maybe, Rabbi Yehuda himself saw that people were throwing bread to one another. There's a guy, one guy was throwing bread to the other person. He said, oh, there must be too much bread in this world. If they're willing to play with food, there must be too much bread. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there shouldn't be this much food in the world. And a rav happened. A hunger happened. Because of what Rav Yehuda said. It was crazy. They had to bring Rav Yehuda back to see that it was there. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. We literally have it so good we can't imagine. Rav Victor Miller once saw his daughter walking in the street. Saw his daughter, and he went up to her and said out loud, you're married, Baruch Hashem. You're married, Baruch Hashem. She said, Abba, I've been married for 20 years. 20 years. Why are you all of a sudden saying that right now? So Rav Victor Miller said, so? Why is that any less of a simcha? You're married. There's no less of a simcha just because you've been married for 20 years. Try saying that to somebody on their 15th wedding anniversary, 20th wedding anniversary. You're married. You should be like, this is the greatest simcha in the world. How can you not be happy? How can you not realize what you have? Rav Shach was once invited by a younger man in his kolo to come to a kiddushel. Kiddushel is a small kiddush, in honor of his daughter that was just born. Rav Shach pulled him over. He said, let me ask you, if you had been married for 20 years and you weren't able to have children, would you make a kiddushel? Is that what you would do? What would you do? You'd make a huge kiddush. Make a massive siyum. You do as much as you can. It's my first daughter after 20 years. So why? Because a Kaddish Baruch who saved you from the tsaris of 20 years, you should make a small kiddush? A Kaddish Baruch made sure you wouldn't have that tsar. You should make a massive kiddush that a Kaddish Baruch who did not allow you to have tsar and that you were zocha to have a child without having to wait 20 years. It's an unbelievable bracha. So what do you mean you're making a small kiddush? You're making a huge kiddush. You have to thank him for that. It's a concept. It's a way of thinking. It's a way that we all have to start thinking. Where we're looking at things that we have, and yeah, it's so easy to complain because we're so good at it, because we're Jews, and we're really, really good at complaining and finding the wrong and finding something bad. Start looking at things, and let's look at it and say to ourselves, look how much good there is. Let's start enjoying it again. Start enjoying it. As a timeout, as a pause, I didn't go back to get another slice of pizza. I didn't get a second slice. Why not? Because I sat there and I said, as soon as I saw the piece that I was handed, with a little corner piece that I was handed, and I sat there and I'm just like, why? And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm talking about today. This is literally what I'm talking about today. If I ask for another piece, or if I go around, that's me. That is just living in a world where we have it way too good in life. I'm not saying you have to, I'm saying you have to suffer. I'm not saying you should take the pizza, throw it on the floor, step on it a bunch, and then pick it up and eat it. And so, like, this is the way it should be. Right? I'm not saying you have to live that way. You have to live ghetto. That's not what I'm saying. But to accept that even things that are not exactly the way that you wanted it, planned it, expected it to be, still can be the greatest thing in the world. And the greatest pleasure is the understanding that Hashem is with us while these things happen, every single time. In the tzaros, it's hard to see. When it's over, that's when the things happen. And that's what we make the bracha. Rabbi Zohar could understand this so well that no longer do you see any tzaros in life. It's all good. Everything is good, and you have nothing else there. Until that point, we should remember that that concept is true. Have a good day, everybody.